This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this week's message entitled Being Processed, Pastor Scott reminds us that when we become Christians, the processing that helps us to become the person we were meant to be is not over. In fact, it really has only just begun. Pastor Scott reminds us of some practical ways in which we can gain the most from this process that we each must endure. This message was delivered on June 10th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
And our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we pray that you will continue to bless our church and our pastor and our congregation, for we love you very much. We give of our tithes and offerings with a cheerful and grateful heart. Bless the giver who is obedient and loves you very much. Use these tithes and offerings to grow your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom.
Please greet Pastor Scott.
Go ahead, ushers. It's so nice to be home. It's so nice to be home and sick at home instead of sick on the mainland. Got there on Sunday, and Wednesday morning, woke up with an extremely, extremely sore throat. And I was like, oh boy, okay, I gotta get through these last couple of days of the conference. The important parts are coming up, the business meetings. Gotta get me through this. I woke up in the morning, my eyes were glued shut with mucus. It was like just, you're walking around trying to find a bathroom. It's like, I can't see. Go to the bathroom, wash your face, you look in the mirror, it's like, oh, my eyelashes, there's just like crud all over. And it was like, wow. And then, you know, there's always like, why, you know? I'm human, why? And then I've traveled before and I've gotten sick, and I've learned through being sick on the mainland that sometimes it just happens. Especially when you know on the plane, the air is just recirculated, right? And the people in the back of you coughing, you go like, oh no, 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 no. And so I've learned from being sick on the mainland that my prayers is not about me anymore. It's not like, oh Lord, heal me, because that's the first time I got sick on the mainland. That was my prayers, heal me. But now when I get sick on the mainland, I say, okay, Lord, just don't let the people I'm with get sick, because, you know, if we're all sick, we'd be miserable. If one person is sick, you know, just deal with it, and that would be me. So I figured learn how to deal with it, get through with it, and oh, it's, when you come home and you land in Hilo and you see the rain, oh, it's so beautiful. The only thing was when I landed, my ears were plugged. My wife was talking to me, and it's like, I can't hear you. I'm sorry, but I'm not making anything up. I can't hear you. We had some wonderful worship, met some wonderful people. I got to meet with our Four Squares Mission Press director, Bob Hunt, wonderful man. We got to talk about many things. I got to meet with our Four Square Financial Solutions director, who is going to help us take our money and earn more interest, and which would be stewarding God's finances well. I got to sit with one of our missionaries from the Asia territory, who's doing wonderful things. He said he would love to come to Hawaii and talk, because here in Hawaii, we have a greater connection to the Asia territory, and he was thinking of ways that we could help even start an orphanage, because that's a real need out there. So hopefully, through this, maybe we can get some of them to come here and share their vision with us for that part of the country. But it's so good to see all of you. Pastor Aaron did a wonderful job, right, when I was gone? Yeah. Thank you so much. So my prayer got answered, because nobody got sick until we got home yesterday, then Christy got sick. So God answered my prayers. And so I laid hands on her last night, and I prayed for her. And she drove in this morning. I said, wow, honey, you look fantastic. So I feel better. It's like, yes. Well, today, You know, I try to prepare and pray for my messages, you know, like 6-7 weeks out. And when I was praying, God revealed this to me like weeks ago about process. And so many times and so many ways we are processed. And the vision I got was when I was a little kid, my dad, you see, when we would go, I grew up on Oahu. When we would go to the beach on the North Shore, it was quite a drive, but we would stop on the side of on the road, and my dad would pick sugarcane. And kids, they don't know this kind of stuff nowadays, right? So my dad would pick us some sugarcane. He would chop it up, quarter it, and he would let us chew on it. I mean, how many of you kids do that? But nowadays, what about our kids? I did this to my kids. It's like, what is this? Oh, and I thought about the process from this to this. How many of you like sugar? Yeah? I mean, when I was a little kid and I got sick or something and I had to go to my mom's working place. My mom was an accountant. She worked in an office. I would hang out in the lunchroom and there were sugar cubes there. And I would pop those sugar cubes in my mouth. I mean, how many, you guys did that as a little kid? Oh, sugar cubes were like the bomb. They're better than candy. When you think about, when you see a raw piece of sugar cane, and the things that this has to go through in order to get to this, it has to be crushed, boiled, steamed, sifted, all kinds of things just to get this. And I think, you know, as when we said, oh, yes, Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. Sometimes we never know that we're just going to be crushed, steamed, kicked, beaten, processed, just to become Christ-like. It's like, holy smoke. That's why I think the Bible says count the cost. Because sometimes we don't count the cost. The first kick, the first crush, the first smash. It's like, oh, I don't need this. But then if we understand that this process that refines us makes us into something so much better than what we were. And it's if we understand that and we look at it from the end point of view, I think we can endure it much better. But process is defined as a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. You see, everyone we read about in the Bible went through a process to get where they ended up, growing spiritually and also growing in their faith. A lot of them may not have an intentional plan to grow, but a lot of times the circumstances that God allowed in their life processed them from ordinary men and women to people we read about in the Bible today. The people we learn from, the people we admire, we learn what to do, or we learn what not to do. Life, I believe life is a process from the time we were born until the time we die. Myself, I look at my life and it's a process. God had started when I said yes, and he looked at me and said, wow, I got a lot of work to do with this one. But here it is. Number one, spiritual growth is a process. It's a process. And we, as followers of Christ, we who said yes to Jesus Christ, need to understand that just because we said yes, Jesus, it doesn't end there. It actually begins when we say yes, and it takes us all the way to when we die. It's a process of learning, growing, and being transformed. Now, as followers of Christ, we can take intentional steps to grow spiritually. Like, yeah, I can say, you know, I am going to go through that Thursday night Bible study because It's going to help my spiritual process grow. I can help my spiritual process, my growth process, by doing my daily devotions. We can do intentional things. Or we can become complacent and wait for God to do something to cause us to grow, which, from my experience, it's usually painful, if you know what I mean. God causes things to happen. And sometimes when the things happen in our life, you know, we can come so close to God, or we can get bitter and be pushed, run from God, and be angry or upset. It's like going to the mainland, getting sick. I can be so mad, like, God, that's not fair. It is not fair. I came all this way for our conference, and I get sick. How could you? Or I can say, you know what, it's okay. I'm just going to let this draw me closer to God. And sometimes the thing God allows in our life that causes us to grow, you know, may be painful, or it might push us away from God. I think it depends a whole lot on our attitude towards Christ. And if we go through this process and we look at the end result, looking at, okay, God is allowing things to happen so that I can grow, then I think the process becomes more understandable and easier for us to deal with. In Galatians 1, 15 to 17, the scripture is talking about Saul, who was transformed, knocked off his horse, and he got renamed to Paul. But when God, who has set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Now, when he understood what he was doing, when he was persecuting the Christians, and the Lord knocked him off his horse and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Then he realized that he was doing wrong. Ananias went to pray for him. He got transformed. And then what does he do? He went away. He went away to Arabia for 3 years by himself to hear from the Lord, to learn. He intentionally put this process into place of his growth. In Acts 9:23, when many days has elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. So according to this, Paul left Damascus, traveled to Arabia, in a desert region, and he stayed there for 3 years to just be alone with God, to understand his assignment and what he was to do. So the question is, how can I help this process along? Can I make it go faster? Probably not, but you can help it along by not hindering it, by being obedient. Are there any shortcuts to spiritual maturity? I don't think so, because I think you just gotta learn, and God will reveal to you what you need to know when you need to know it. I don't think if he was to reveal everything that we needed to know in an instant, I think we'd have a brain fry, because it's too much to comprehend. In your spiritual growth process, there are no shortcuts. And my advice is, whatever part you're in, just take it all in. Learn as much as you can. It's like diamonds. Precious stones are created under extreme pressure over a very, very long period of time. And each and every one of you are more precious than diamonds. We will be in this growth process until we are called home. Amen? Number 2, growing faith is a process. You know, we don't just say, Lord, give me faith, and bang, we have faith. Does it work like that? My mic off? Oh. Aha.
Welcome back.
Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. But growing faith is a process. Exodus 3:10, and I love Moses' story. Exodus 3:10-11. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And I like Moses because I made the same excuses as him. Who am I to go out and preach your word? Who am I to go and stand before your people and speak? I am not one of eloquent speech. I flunked speech in high school. When God called Moses to free his people from Egypt, I don't think he had faith. His faith was small, maybe non-existent. He made excuses. How many of you, when I ask you to do children's ministry, you make excuses? Just me. Yeah, I mean, yeah, sometimes when we need to do God's work, it's like spooky because he asks you to do things like leaving your comfort zone. But this is what happened in Exodus 4:14. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Like, oh, I do not want that to happen to me. And he said, is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. I think obedience equals growth. When we obey and we do what God says, our faith will grow. Look at Exodus 4:19-20. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife, his sons, and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. So Moses, he kind of reluctantly goes back. Now that he has his brother Aaron by his side, He's more willing to go. And sometimes, you know, it's good to take someone with you when you do God's work, because the Bible in Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. So it's always better. So fast forward in Exodus 14. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. So remember when Moses went to Pharaoh, his first thing he did was his staff. He turned it into a serpent. You know, it's like, even that, I thought that was like, wow, to just throw it down and, you know, turn into a serpent and do what it did. That was just the beginning of his faith. And now we read in Exodus, you know, lift up your staff. Now, he's like making the sea part. Holy smokes. How did that happen? From us turning his staff into a snake to making the Red Sea part. Wow. I mean, talk about faith. His process went from one step at a time, one step of obedience to the next. And his faith grew and grew and grew and grew. I remember when I first started serving the Lord, each step of faith was scary. Did not sure what I was going to do and what kind of trouble I was getting myself into by saying yes. And although it was scary, each step, the faith grew and the faith grew until one day I had to step out of that nice air-conditioned office and come here. And that was spooky. But the faith process, it grew each and every time. And it was a wonderful thing, and it didn't grow overnight. It grew over the course of 15 years, and it still continues to grow. And I'm still asking God, what else do we need to do to grow? And I hope that this process that I go through, that you would come along and grow in your spiritual growth and in your faith as I grow. Yeah. You gotta take that step in going forward and growing. And number three, don't interfere with that process. Do not interfere with that process. Sometimes we fight it, man. We fight it. We just don't want. Or maybe we're afraid. You know, fear, he is a liar. And we don't want to. We're afraid. We're unsure. And that's normal. But you got to understand, our God is bigger than anything else in this world. Amen? Jonah, poor guy. The story of Jonah. Now, if you understand the story of Jonah, he was called to go to Nineveh. The Ninevites were like enemies of the Israelites. Like they just did not like each other. And God said, go to Nineveh. It's like, crazy. It's like telling somebody from Waikia High School, go to Hilo High and pray for them to have victory. Like, hey, you kidding? No way. Right? So it's like, go to Nineveh and preach in that city. And it's like, but that's our enemy. Why? Why should I do that? I don't want them. He didn't want them saved. But it was a process that the Lord wanted him to go through. And because he didn't go through that process the way that God wanted to go through, man, he ended up on a ship, ended up in the belly of a big fish. Could you imagine the smell? I mean, those of you who clean fish, yeah, awful. But Jonah rose up and up to flee to Tarshish in the opposite direction from the presence of the Lord. How many of you cannot know that you cannot flee from the presence of the Lord? So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He kind of didn't want to go, so he kind of hindered the process. In Matthew 4:8-9, this is talking about Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, the devil said to Jesus, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. The devil offered the whole world to Jesus if you would only kneel down and worship him. He tried to offer Jesus a shortcut, not going to the cross. But Jesus knew the process that he had to go through in order to save you and I. He did not take that shortcut, thank God. Today, the devil offers us the world by trying to entice us with materialism and power. Jesus was offered a shortcut, but he didn't take it. I mean, if the devil offers you a shortcut, what would you do? Please don't take it. There is no shortcuts in our spiritual growth, in our growing of our faith. This process that we are going through is a refining process. It's something that would transform our lives from what we were when we said yes to Jesus into something that we can say, follow me, because I follow him. It's a transforming process where the old has gone, the new has come. And when as you're going through this process, don't fight it. Think about what is happening to you and how you are becoming better. Don't think about the pain. Because if you look at the pain, that's all you see. Amen? You know what? A couple of times I've been doing stuff around the house, and I don't realize that I'm bleeding. And then when I realize I'm bleeding, ouch! But before I knew I was bleeding, it was no pain. But when you look at the pain, that's all you see. But if you look at the end result, you understand the process and what God is doing to you and how He is transforming you into His image. And that process will never be done until we can look in the mirror and see Jesus. Amen? And it'll be a wonderful process, because when we get there, God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So in this process, go with it. Don't fight it. Don't fight against it. Understand it. Embrace it. Grow with it. And take those steps. Amen? And if you need help, man, we are here. We are here as a fellowship, not to just gather socially, but for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry, to reach a harvest out there so great that the Bible says we need more workers. We are gathered here not just to come to hear a message each Sunday, but to equip, to do, to go, to be. Amen? Let's pray. I ask the worship team to come up. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody here who has never had the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to begin this wonderful process, I ask you now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? No shame. Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands, and they said yes to you. And Lord, I pray that you would begin a process of transformation in their lives, that they would be like that caterpillar turning into that butterfly, that your word said if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. Mm-hmm. And Lord, for us who are going through this process, help us to understand that you are in control and that you are transforming our lives into something greater, something that we cannot even imagine. And help us to be patient. Help us to be strengthened. Help us to be encouraged to get through this process day by day, step by step, moving forward each day, never, ever moving backwards. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. While I was away, did we get to pray for the graduates or anything? No. Graduates. Trayson. And you want to come up? We can pray for you. No? Come on.
Come on.
Come on. We want to, because it's a big step. Trayson. Oh. All of a sudden, I came short. Wow, look at you two. Look at that. My two bodyguards. This is our future. Let's pray. Lord, stretch your hands out. Lord, we thank you so much for our graduating seniors. What an accomplishment. They went through the process of grade school. Now they enter the college process. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom and knowledge. Surround them with good friends who would always encourage them, help them to do their work. Lord, I pray that you would bless them with good professors, one that would encourage them, one that would support them, one that would help them. Lord, I pray that you would provide for them financially because it is a big burden. So, Lord, I pray you would bless them. And I pray that they would get through this process of college with flying colors, even making the dean's list and graduating, entering their future with all this knowledge that you would pour into them. And I pray throughout this process, Lord, that they would always remember that you will promise that you would never leave them nor forsake them. Thank you so much for their accomplishment. We celebrate with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. Wow, what an accomplishment. Ooh, would you all stand and we're going to sing?
Right on. Let's say thank you to Pastor Scott. So glad you're back. Nobody more glad than me. Let's take it out today and sing unto the Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.